I guess historically powerful women.
If I see a crow again, I am going to crow.
And I also liked how it was tied back to Shakespeare's Bitches as well, which was really cool.
Hello, friends. Welcome to Living a Life Through Books, the podcast about everything bookish. I'm your host, Dr. Shanaz Ahmed, and today is another episode of Book Club. Before we get started, I want to say that your support of my podcast means a lot to me. The best way is to read the show notes, and there are ways to support me. There's Libro FM, there's Buy Me a Coffee. So please, please, please take a look at the show notes. And now, without further ado, let's get straight to Book Club. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another book club. I'm super excited. We're doing Wayward by Amelia Hart. And as always, first thoughts. I really enjoyed this book. I loved this book. I was curious to see where it's going. It had its moments of happiness. It had its moments of grief. There were people I wanted to strangle, all of that. But yeah, this was a good book. I'm really glad we picked it for book club.
I also really love this book. It was a really refreshing change from the last one. I loved the connection with nature, and I loved all the character development. I read it in one sitting. I read the whole thing because I couldn't put it down. So I really liked this one.
Okay.
Yes, well, me too. It's, as Dr. Jen said, it's a little, you know, it was different from the last one. Totally two poles apart, you know, not pole, south pole, east, west, whatever you call it. Yes, I like the book too. Some parts I thought was a little, you know, you could guess it. But other than that, as Dr. Jen said, it was so nice connecting with nature. And then again, it's got a little bit of history as well. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. Rifat, you have your hand up?
Mm-hmm. I just want to go next.
Sure.
Love the book. I really, really enjoyed reading it. And I love the magic and the mystery and all the birds and the plants and the three generations. And I really liked the whole themes, whatever they were going through. So it was very nicely done. A few things, of course, that we'll discuss. But overall, I am very happy I read that book.
Okay. Erin?
So I read this book about a year ago, and I don't remember what I thought, like, my impression was just at the outset of it. But I reread it for book club because I was like, oh, I enjoyed it, so I will read it again. And I'm so glad I did read it again. So I think overall, like, it's a solid book. They had great characters, great setting. I love the back and forth from the historical perspective to the modern day, and how there were some similarities, you know, in their stories. And also, I have to agree with Dr. Healy. I really loved the connection with nature. That's just really beautiful and, I don't know, peaceful, I guess.
Okay. Monique, you're next. First thoughts?
I've been drawn to witchcraft since I was a young child in the sense of this book, the fascination of, you know, I guess historically powerful women were just viewed as witches because that's just not something that we can be. And that, you know, intense bond to nature and nurturing in nature. It was really well done. It was really well written. I really loved that it went back to the 1600s because, like I said, I was fascinated with like the whole Salem thing. Salem is one of my favorite places to visit. So I liked the connection to the 1600s for that aspect as well. It was a really good book, and it's not the type of genre. Even though I am drawn to, you know, the history of everything that happened, I haven't found myself drawn to books like this in a long time. So it kind of, when I saw that you were doing this one for book club and I saw it staring at me from my shelf, I was like, all right, it's time.
It is time.
I'm really glad
it
I did.
Time.
Really glad
it
I did.
It is time. You know, it's interesting. The last time you came in, we did, what, The Good Neighbor or I don't remember.
Good neighborhood. Such a good neighborhood.
Yeah, that was like, had a, I don't know why I thought about that book when I read this book. Maybe it was preempting me that you were going to join this book club. But like, it was just one of these things. Okay, let's talk about themes. The thing with nature and everyone liking it and all of that, I'm going to be the person who's going to be a bit of a devil's advocate in that. I just felt a bit much. I was just like, okay, enough with the crow. And was it a crow or a raven? I lost track with the white feather. And I'm like, if I see a crow again, I am going to crow, is how I felt about it. And then all these wings and the bees and the insects, and it was supposed to be, I wasn't like, wow. I wasn't like, ew, I don't like insects. I actually like insects. It's just like, I was just like, it's okay, fine. All these insects, a whole bunch of dust, bees just coming in. And then you have this crow there. And I'm like, okay, great. Can we get on with the story? That was me. So you guys are going to get a whole bunch of alternate thoughts on that. But it was good and it was well done. Okay. Themes of this book. What was this book really about, Rifat?
To me, and I think you saw that on my Instagram as well, that this is a book that we should read for Women's Month, Women's Independence, or whatever, the National Women's Day. I think that was a very strong thing, theme about it. And I think the way it was tied, just like Monique said, with the witchcraft and all that, just because they are strong, they have to be not women, and they have to be somebody not nice. And I also liked how it was tied back to Shakespeare's witches as well, which was really cool from, you know. For me, that was the strongest theme. I also believe forgiving yourself, bond among women, which was, of course, the first theme. And, you know, growing up from your circumstances, as a result of your circumstances and how things around you can empower you. And that I always like where, you know, when you go through a whole bunch of difficult times and then you grow up, you know, not necessarily in age, but how you react to the different things. And I really like that. But I also felt very sad that all the way from 1600 to, I think it was 2000, whatever the latest year was, that the struggles were pretty much the same for the women, although we have come so far and we're talking about centuries. But there were a few things that she mentioned which were beautifully different. I know you said something about the nature and the crows in this, and I don't get attracted to that kind of genre, but the way it was put to portray the main theme or to bring the main theme out, that was beautiful. And same thing, I mean, if I were to read about somebody trying to kill their unborn child, that is not something we like these days, but for the time and for the circumstances it was written, it kind of justified that. I'm not saying that it was justified, but it was really nicely done. All three women got pregnant and, you know, however. So that was a very nice sort of scenarios that she did and the way each woman dealt with it in their own time. So all those things were really nicely done in the book. I think there were a whole bunch of themes of mainly definitely women and forgiving and growing up and, you know, especially the bond of the women. I liked it.
Dr. Jen, before you go, one of the things I thought with women is that the times haven't changed as much. You know, we started off as witches and now we're bitches. I mean, that's what I was like thinking. Like, literally, that's what I was thinking. Like, what else can I say? And it was sad. And then the other thing I thought about, thank you, Erin. The other thing I thought about was the thing of the theme of educating our young women and at what age, the theme of women speaking up, they're speaking their truth, you know, like the fact that Victoria couldn't tell someone that she was raped. The fact that Kate was like had trouble telling people that she was abused. At what point do we educate our women to speak up for themselves and to tell people? Like, even my own life. I mean, I I don't think I spoke about my life, Shauna, as you know. I mean, for the longest time, I was just like, no, this is life. This is life. But I think a lot of it is because it's that the way you're raised. And even today, you know, like, at what point do we raise women to speak up and say, to speak their mind, to tell people what's going on? And that just really, really hit me. Dr. Jen, then Shauna's.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was going to get at, too. The patriarchy is still trying to keep us down, even from, like, before the 1600s. Still going. But my thought about the theme was that I think a big part of it was that connection with the self, that self kind of actualization and realization of who you are. And I think that's how she kind of connected in the nature with it. So if you break that connection with nature, then you're not going to have that internal power to be able to speak up for those things. Like with Alva's mom was the first time that I saw it, like, in chronologically, I guess, when she let her bird go, her crow, she told it to go away, and then she died of a fever. And then Kate, you know, had this traumatic event with the crow getting run over, or her dad getting run over when she was going to find the crow, and then she cuts off everything from nature, and then completely loses herself and has no confidence and no power, and then ultimately is able to get that back by kind of rekindling that connection with nature again. And same with Violet, once she got out into the cottage, out of her dad's house, and then was able to reform that connection, she was like, I don't need anybody, I'm going to stay here in this little cottage and, like, live on my own. So I think it, understanding that self-acceptance is so important to kind of realize that power. Yeah, education for sure, but also just, like, acceptance.
Well, did I just say Victoria instead of Violet? I did, right?
I think so.
Of course I did. Of course I did. I'm like, it's a V name. I'm like, what was her name? I swear I read the whole book. And speaking of Violet, the very, very, very last chapter when she was talking about, like, you know, it was a Violet chapter. I got so confused because she ends up naming her daughter Violet Alta. And I got confused. I'm like, wait, did the daughter grow up? Like, for a minute, I thought it was the baby had grown up and it was her point of view. And it took me a page to go, no, it's not her. I'm like, no, it's Violet. It's the Violet. It's the regular book. It's the Violet chapter. It's like, what am I thinking? Shauna's, you're next.
What was your question?
Why do you have your hand up?
No, for something. We started with something, but then I started thinking of something else.
We were talking about themes, but do you want to hold off for a bit?
I'm just pulling your leg. For me, nature was one theme. And then, you know, as you said, you know, how do we educate our women when to speak up? But I think that is the crazy part, because however much you educate, when it comes to abuse, the abuser has upper hand. So it is so tough for them to come out. So it takes them a lot of confidence, a lot of understanding, a lot of external support before they can even come out, I think. That's my opinion. Because whatever education, however well-educated they are, however not educated they are, still, I think the abuser has the upper hand, irrespective of this situation. Then second is, I think, you know, olden times, what happened was, when you were a little different, people branded you as a witch. Why didn't they do that with men? Men were also different, right?
It's not just but olden times, Shauna's. Even today,
It's starting with the olden times, you know, from to this day. If you're a little different, you're a witch. Or as you said, a bee.
Yeah.
You know? So I think, you know, so even with all this, we still, as you said, we got to educate women. And the good touch, bad touch, I think, comes very much into play now. Because as Violet, she didn't know what she was going through when, what was that guy's name? Frederick, right? So when he did it, she didn't know what it was. She didn't even know what to say and whom to say. You know, she didn't have anybody. And she didn't even know this. She was raped, you know, which was so sad. So yes, good touch, bad touch. I think we need to start from whenever the child can start understanding what a good touch and a bad touch is. And I think nature plays a huge thing, as Dr. Jen was saying, you know. So yes, crows are important. And I would love to understand the crows just to annoy you, Shanas.
You would do anything to annoy me, but we're not going to talk about that. I will say that as far as education of women, yes, but support. I think support is paramount to women getting out. And I think that's one of the big things that men do. That's the first step they do, is try to cut off a woman's support system. I think it's one of the steps. Once you cut off her support system, then she's trapped. And that's kind of the tricky part, because I know there was so many times it was written where Kate said that her friends tried to call her and then they gave up at some point. And it's rough. I mean, it's a rough situation. It's just heartbreaking. I was like cringing on all the Kate scenes, like every bit of it, like her drive, her getting to the cottage, and every moment I'm like, are you sure he's going to find you? Are you sure? Like, it took me a good 2/3 of the book before I could read the Kate chapters with going, oh no, he's not coming back. It's fine. It's going to be fine. He's not coming back. It's just, this is about a woman's growth. This is not a scary, no, it's about a woman's growth. Let's go that way until we know what happens, until the whole Google, the email mishap. And I knew when the email mishap happened, 3 minutes. I know she said 3 minutes. I knew that, you know, that was written there just so it was going to go south. Realistically, 3 minutes should not have mattered, personally. I mean, I don't think 3 minutes should have even mattered, unless the phone was right in front of him and, you know, like phones bling up, oh, you got a new email message. But with all that said, Sophia, welcome. And first thoughts, and we're discussing themes. So go ahead with first thoughts and themes of the book.
I really like the name. I think it has a play on words, because society perceived all three women as wayward. So that was that first caught my eyes. And then obviously the book kind of like was borderline fantasy, borderline magic realism, more like magic realism, less fantasy, some historic fiction. So it has a lot of, it can be placed in a lot of genres. So if you want to categorize the genre of the book. And themes were also, since it it moved through so many alternate timelines, and they were common themes, but they were also themes that were pertinent to that particular period. So there were a lot of common themes: abuse, obviously, rebellion, patriarchy, men failing women, misogyny, misandry, so survival, women helping women, revenge, self-justice, resilience. So
resilience, it's our favorite word. Resilience is our favorite word, isn't it?
Yes.
Who wants to go next? Rifat, did you want to go next, or does someone else want to go next?
Oh, I can. It was about the themes. I think I already went about the themes.
Okay, never mind.
But I do have one thing. When you said that, Shanas was saying that educating women, I think educating men is equally important.
Oh, yes.
I think I've said many times that women are the ones who create a culture, because it's their lap from where both the boys and the girls grow up. So educating men, and while all the men were very bad in this book, there were three men who were, you know, where like her brother was pretty nice, and then I think one of the older Altas, somebody was nice, and then Kate's dad was nice too. So definitely educating men. In terms of, well, I think we'll talk about the book bads and goods later. So that was
I want to add the theme of, I don't know the word, it's not retribution, but where resolution, like where you do something to kind of forgive yourself, kind of a thing, if that makes any sense. Like what I'm trying to talk about is, I don't know if you guys have seen the movie 42, where it's this baseball player, and he's black, and he's going through all kinds of, I guess, mental abuse and all that by being in this team because he's black. And he's like yelling at, I think the owner of the baseball club. Why am I here? Blah, blah, blah. And the guy says, you know, I think there was something where he said, I've done bad in my life. I haven't been fair to people of color and or something like that. And he goes, I want to right a wrong. And in this book, I was thinking about that movie because when the juror for Alta at the end came up to her and was like saying, this woman saved his wife or something, like saved her, and she was under trial. I didn't speak up. And so today I want to right a wrong. And what is that word for that? When, you know, you do that, what is that word?
Reconciliation.
No, I'm thinking of a particular word, but that's kind of what it is. I like that. In the theme that some people were trying to, you know, do what's right and get through that past. I mean, I also thought about like myself personally. I don't know if I've told the story before, but I went to a retreat last year and everything was fine except I had an incident, but I just let it go. I didn't even pay attention. I came home. And then I think about 2 months later, one of the guys who went to that retreat called me and he's like, Shanaz, I need to talk to you about something with the retreat. And I said, what's going on? And so finally he's like, let's schedule a time to talk. And then we did talk. And he said, he started off with, I want to apologize to you. I said, apologize for what? And he said, you know, I was there and I watched you get bullied by that other person and I didn't say anything. And he said, all my, you know, in my childhood, in my, you know, as in high school, I wasn't a good person. And I think he was a bully or whatever. But he says, in a sense, like, I've gotten past it. And then here I am. And I watched you get bullied. I didn't say anything. I didn't do anything. I should have just grabbed you, picked you up and taken you out of that situation. But I didn't. But again, that's the thing that, like, I thought about those things in this book where people, that was one good person. I mean, there weren't many good men in this book, but that was one thing where people are trying to get forward and move forward from their past and try to change that. Erin, you're next.
So I agree with all the themes that people have mentioned. I just wanted to add, I don't think I heard anybody say it, but the relationship between mothers and daughters, that was a really strong theme here as well. And even with Violet, like she, the relation or the part, you know, the theme there was that she regretted what she did to a certain extent, because once she realized that that would have been her daughter and that she's never going to get that opportunity for that relationship, that in this family is that unique passing on of the power sort of a, you know, thing. She, I think, really mourned that. So even though we don't have a character that is her daughter, you still, you know, see that theme come across even with her character. And I just thought all the different mother-daughter relationships were really beautiful to see play out.
Monique, thoughts, themes?
Yeah, a follow-up to what Erin was saying, actually. I really loved that Kate got to, in a big way, we're talking about how not a lot has changed for women, but the fact that she was able to make the decision to keep her child, even though she thought about not, and how empowering and how strong that of a decision that was for her, given where that child came from and the fears of, you know, we're talking a lot about nature versus nurture. Who are you going to be like, and what is to come of you? And that empowering moment of, I'm going to raise this child to be someone that I can be proud of. I found that really, you know, looking back on Violet's situation of, I'm dirty now and I don't want to, or I can't take this on right now. I thought it was really, really nice to see that growth between generations.
I wanted to say the theme of the patriarchy, right? The father, Violet's father, is just unconscionable. I cannot fathom it, that he automatically was like, well, I knew, you know, Frederick wanted to marry you, but you didn't want to wait. Like, hello, hello, and hello. Automatically, automatic judgment on your own daughter. That I just felt like it was a time when men were still looking at their daughters as, okay, you're this thing and you got to get you married. And that's, there was no father-daughter relationship and love and nurturing from a father to a daughter, which is a very special relationship, but that wasn't there. It was like, you are this thing, you just go away kind of a thing, and also blaming his daughter. And the thing with her dad that I did not understand is it wasn't just Violet. It was also Graham, right? Graham's the name of the brother, right? It was also Graham. He disowned both children and gave his estate to Frederick. I'm still wrapping my head around that element of this book. I just don't know how to process it. Maybe you guys can help me and say, well, that's normal. That's the time. But it's like a father abandoning his own children. And it's like, you know how Graham's like, oh, he's Freddy. Oh, he is Freddy. Like, he gets a nickname, but we don't. He gets that love, but we don't. And I don't understand it. And the only way I understand it is saying that Violet's mom, I mean, their mom, that he is harboring the guilt of what he did to their mom. And so he hates the kids or something like that. Am I right? Or am I totally off? Everybody's smiling.
I think that's right. I mean, I do think that he is mean and cold towards the kids in part because he's ashamed of what he did. I think he's afraid of Violet. So that's kind of an additional piece. He recognizes her power and he thinks she's going to be just like her mom. I think to a certain extent, he was hopeful that Graham was going to be just like him and is really super disappointed when he's not. So, you know, therefore then kind of puts that same action of hate towards him because he feels like, oh, he must be more like his mom, you know.
Do you feel this book was imbalanced for between men and women, where it was showing more like it was 90% of the men were negative, you had a 10% positivity in men, and you had 90% women were good and whatever. I don't even know if there was any negativity in women that was brought up. Do you feel it was imbalanced? And if it was or was not, is it okay? And what are your thoughts on that? I know, Rifath, you'd love this because you're always like, no one's really good or bad. You're always this, everything's gray. What's the balance? I like to look at everything. Like, everybody's on the scale, right, Rifath? So, like, what do you think about that? And if this book was 100% men were bad and 100% women were good, what would your thoughts be about this, considering our times and that women and respect for women and how women are treated hasn't changed much? It's better, but it hasn't changed much. So what are your thoughts on that?
So when it comes to balance, I think if it was an imbalanced book, I wouldn't have liked it. If it's all about only women are good and men are not good, I wouldn't have liked it. And I think I mentioned in the beginning, there were three male characters that she did portray as very nice. Is Victoria's, Violet's brother.
Yeah, I know. I have that
Violet's
thing, right?
Brother and then Kate's dad and Alta's the juror, you know, who was the butcher boy or somebody. So, like I said, we are all humans first, and then we are men and women or black or white or Muslims or Jews or Christians. So we are all humans first. If you're born as a good person, we are going to be a good woman or a good Jew or a good, you know, gay or whatever. So I believe that the book was balanced and she intentionally did it because women can't be where they are on their own only. We do need all the support, like you said, and the support doesn't only come from women. But predominantly the theme of the book was about women and you know, the strong women, how they were perceived, and they're still perceived that way. And when you say, like, you know, what was your next question? The first was balance.
Like, if it was, I'm like saying, if it was 100% women good.
Oh, I wouldn't have liked this. I told you, I would not have liked that book. I do not like a very extreme. I think we all, you know, everybody exists in, we can generalize to some extent, but we can't just say that that's the only part that's bad and that's the only part that's good. That's too much judgment. All men are bad. That's very judgmental.
Right, but it was, I think, like, I felt that more men were bad.
Yeah, yeah.
Than she, good.
You're right.
And that would be potentially, could be construed as an imbalance. But I liked it.
Yeah.
There was a part of me that says, you know what? I don't care that that element of an imbalance existed, that men were more, you know, more negative than women, more, you know, and I, you know, and I'm thinking like this part of reality is that way. So why not?
So how many characters do we have per se? We have four women, you know, and
four women, three.
The fourth is the Grace, the friend, right? Whose husband was. Technically, we have these four.
Technically,
five
you have, okay, well, you have Grace, right. Then you have the librarian, Emily.
No, no, hold on. Yeah. And then we have the mom. The,
and we
the
have
mom,
the moms also.
Right, moms too. And how many men do we have? If you look at it, she did a pretty good justice of portraying three good men. I think she did it very wisely.
Okay.
I do not find the book imbalanced. But I know that it was predominantly written for women, so we didn't want, like, you know, but I do not find, I think she did a good job.
Yeah, I'm very much throw a guy under a bus. I'm all good. I'm all for it.
One thing I have to say, we have read so many books. We are not young girls anymore. I am not, at least. And you are
speak
not.
Speak for yourself. No. Speak for yourself. I'm still young. Okay.
So it doesn't surprise me anymore what you were talking about, Violet's dad. We have known so many characters like that. We have known very bad women. We have known very bad men. So it isn't. It's not informational anymore. It's just, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So that wasn't too surprising to me. It was like, yeah, I mean, it still happens. It can happen. And I know women who manipulate too. So it's, like I said, we are all humans first.
Hey, Erin.
I was just going to say the ratio seemed about right to me. Like, realistically, there's most, I'm not saying most men are bad, but I'm saying, like, when you find a good one, like, they're few and far between. And I think that maybe was part of the message. A fair part of the message.
Fair part of the message. I agree with you. It is a fair part of the message. Any other themes that we kind of missed on that we didn't touch on? Anybody? Rufat?
I would say, and I think I mentioned a little bit, but the relationship between women too, especially Grace and Alta's relationship, as the way it went towards the end and whatever game they played to make that happen was very beautiful.
You know, now that you mentioned it, there was that Alta had Grace, Violet kind of had her, what was it, her maid or her nurse or whatever. Violet had that, and Kate had Emily. Well, Kate had, yeah, her mom, but Kate had a mom and Emily at the bookstore. So it was kind of, it was nice that the relationship with women and nurturing each other. Yeah, that was a great, great theme. Shanas, any other themes?
Didn't Grace and Alta plot that whole thing, the death of her husband? That's how I understood.
I don't know if they plotted it. All I know is I felt that Alta knew that, oh, Erin says thumbs up. I felt like, okay, Alta knew that Grace obviously wanted her husband to die and that they needed to do something and that Grace was okay with it, except Grace didn't know how to go about it. Because even if, say, Alta had given her some solution for her to feed her husband, you know, it was kind of decided that, you know, if that happened, you'd be in trouble. So what had happened is I thought that Alta took it upon herself to come up with a plan. And I thought, yeah, Grace was okay with it. But I thought it was Alta took it upon herself to come up with the plan with the crow.
Yeah, and that's what I meant by, like, she came for help and she did something. And I just want to say one thing, and I know I'm taking too much of time. But I really loved how each of the women used their powers to, at some point of time, like, you know, intentionally or unintentionally, even towards the end, Kate used it towards her husband. So that was a nice touch.
Shauna, you were next.
Yeah, suicide comes again.
Ooh.
A lot of books we've read, suicide plays a part. So again, I thought, you know, suicide again came in this book too, with Violet trying to commit suicide. And then, so that was one theme also, you know. So I think the author was trying to write for the present day as well. So she gives in that little bit of touch so people can start thinking about it too. So that's my take. And I think Artha did whatever she did just so that Grace doesn't suffer anymore.
I'm pro what Artha did.
I just don't know
how she did it. The interesting thing is this, that I felt, okay, magic realism was something Sophie said. And Sophia, you know, magic and realism, and you're talking, she has control over crows. That's where it's this magic thing. And she controls the crows to create the stampede to kill the husband. Excellent. But then I'm thinking, if that was realism, then, and she has that kind of control, then she's a witch. You know, and if there's a part of me that's going, wait a minute, you know, there's that kind of a control. Oh, man, this is witchery. You are kind of a witch then, which is fine. If you're a witch, it's fine. I'm all for you. Go for it. I mean, who am I to say you can't be who you are? If you have powers and you can fly on a broomstick, by all means, go for it. So, but that's why I was like, it was really interesting because at the end, it comes out that she did control the crows and they did do it. And I'm going, oh, wow, that's awesome. You were tried for witchcraft and you got off, although you are a witch. I love it. I love that part of it. Sophia.
All the women, the ravens helped them, right? Mm-hmm. So, and that's how did it. I mean, like, did the author go in for witches and ravens, or she just took it upon herself? I don't know. But all three women used ravens, no other bird. So are the ravens in a bad light here, or are the women who used them are in a bad light? I don't know.
I'm not a fan of ravens. It was just kind of like, okay, but we're not going to go into that. But Sophie's next and then Erin's next.
So I just want to say about the balance part that, yeah, that's correct that there were three men that were shown in good light, but they have really, really minor characters. And the major characters were all sinister and evil. The animals were better than the men. So if you look at the ratio, all the insects, the moths, the mayflies, the all kind of flies, ravens, toads, they were better than men. So men were the worst of all creatures here. So, and then women, there were not a single bad woman. So pretty much all women were sort of good. Yeah, and I don't remember any bad woman character. So from that standpoint, I think it was imbalanced. It was more female-oriented book and it has more misandry. There was a huge, and I was reading some of the reviews also, and people like, we put the book down because there's so much misandry in it, especially men didn't like the book. So yeah, there was definitely imbalance. And as far, and it shows, and we were talking about themes, so it did mention every crime against women that's possible, from rape to domestic violence to incest to miscarriages, abortions, all kind of crimes. I do want to raise one question. It talked about cousin marriage. I thought cousin marriage is not acceptable in Christianity. Is it like a, I don't know, does someone know about it? I kind of feel weird because I think in Texas it's not even allowed. It's not legal to marry a cousin.
I think since this was 19, what year was it? I don't remember.
42.
1942, maybe. Mm-hmm. Maybe at that time it was allowed, is what I'm thinking. But I mean, you know, it's not like Kate was in a cousin marriage today. I think that was a different time. Erin?
So I guess a couple things. I can maybe answer the question about cousins and marriage. So there are some states that have laws against it here, and there are some states that do not. So I think like Kentucky, Arkansas, There's like a handful of states that do not have a law against it. The state of Missouri, where we are, does have a law, because when you go to get your marriage license, you have to attest to the fact that you are not like cousins or siblings or, yeah, like there's some relationships that they ask you about. But anyway, it's definitely from a legal perspective, people can marry their cousins in some states. And as far as Christianity, there's actually in the Bible, there are cousins that get married. So there's nothing from a religious standpoint, I suppose, that would prevent somebody from getting married to their cousin just because they're a Christian. So I think, yeah, I'd say, and it was generally more accepted in the past than it is today.
Okay,
thanks. But my original...
at least.
Yeah, yeah. And my original reason for raising my hand was about the crows. I might be able to shed some light about the crows.
Sure.
So I think that... For one thing, crows are used as like symbolism for somebody who has magical powers and like historically in a lot of tales. So that's one thing. And then I don't know if this is the same since the setting of the book was in like the UK. I don't know if it's the same there as it is here, but in the United States, and I don't think it's just in the Midwest. I think it's also true for other parts of the United States, but there's an association of crows or, you know, blackbirds in general with death. So I didn't know if that was like part of what the symbolism was here too, because at least three of the instances you're dealing with death, like directly with the presence of the crow. So those are the pieces of symbolism that I know about. And I think that might be why there's that connection with the crows here. I don't understand the connection with like the mayflies. So there could be other pieces of symbolism to the pieces of nature that they're using that I'm not aware of. But I know at least the crows, there's those two pieces.
Okay. Yeah, it was the magic realism element of this book that I was just kind of like, it was a genre switch for me from women's fiction, literary fiction to magic realism, that I wasn't a big fan of that genre switch personally. I know it was done well. I know it was artistic. Her prose was beautiful, but Monique, do you have anything about themes or anything? Nope. She's like, okay, nope. All right. What about favorite scenes and not so favorite scenes? Who wants to go?
I'll go. One of my favorite ones was the end with Kate when she has all the ravens or crows or whatever they are chase her ex-husband out.
I actually did not like that. I was
really
it was just for me, it was like, you know, the thing is, okay, so she comes down from the attic and she's got this guy and he's trying to strangle her, and all of a sudden, oh wow, magic. All these crows come in and these crows come in and these insects come in and they did the crow peck his eye? It was like actually pecked his left eye, whatever. Like all of this magically happens. So here's what happened is to me is a character's, I keep forgetting this word. What's the word, Serby? When a character has autonomy, agency, okay? So here's the thing. You put a character in a situation and you can't just let the situation or the surroundings take care of the character. The character has to have agency and want to do something. So Kate had agency to get up to the attic. She was planning. She's like, no, I can do this. So she made the plan. She's going up to the attic. That's great. Character agency. Picks up the phone. Call, you know, to text a friend. Agency. Oh my God, the message didn't go through. That's agency. And, you know, the author brought it up. Okay, fine. You know what? Time's up. Let's get down this attic and face him. Agency. And you know what? What I would have liked is if you're getting down the attic and agency, grab the damn fire poker and swing and hit him. That would have been the ultimate agency. Not suddenly, oh, magic realism. Let's just bring the birds in and let's bring the birds and the bees in to make it all magical. I'm like, where did the agency go? So I'm sorry, Dr. Chen. I disagree with you on that. It was beautiful, but...
I saw the animals and the nature as an extension of her agency. So that was her coming to her awareness, her coming to terms with who she is as a person, and her releasing of that power in a form that just happened to be represented in animals as opposed to a poker. So,
okay. Shauna's? What? Who?
I think Erin went before me.
She was clapping her hands.
Had a hand before me? No.
She was applauding. I don't know who she was applauding. I think she was applauding either me or Dr. Chen. I don't know. Erin was just applauding.
Anyway, no. I think, you know what, it's what the book is about, you know, the gift which those women have. So she used it at the correct moment. That's what I think, Dr. Chen. So I like that scene too, because, you know, no one came to help her. At least nature came to help her, you know? So the book is about all that. And so that's how she found out that she can control, I think, right? That's where she became aware that she has its special gift. So I think that's one scene I liked. And I hated what Frederick did to Violet. All that and, you know, the scenes where the fetus, you know, the abortions, I didn't like that too. So for me, all that.
So I actually really like the revenge part that Dr. Jen was mentioning. I just didn't like the suspense was very childish in that whole time. We knew he was going to find her. I wasn't too thrilled when you were saying 3 minutes of the theme. And I was like, it's going to happen. It's just a matter of when, not if. So I didn't like that whole thing. She could have, the rest of the book is written pretty, I would say, expertly. That part she couldn't handle very well. The revenge would have been a very beautiful scene, but I think she didn't handle it very well. There should have been a bit more about how he, to me, it was still, he didn't die, right?
No,
so he was, we don't know if he's going to come back.
Arrested. Finally, he was arrested.
Oh, yeah.
And there was this thing that he would potentially get out of jail in 2 years. Right.
Yeah, he said in the end he was arrested. But still, I think that could have been a bit more kind of like an airtight. It didn't seem like that to me. In terms of her delaying that crow, calling the crows or something, I think she was in a seasoned witch, and it's something you don't realize in this day and age if you have that power. And I think it was very, the analogy was like, sometimes you don't know how strong we are. And we all have realized that in many situations, that sometimes we can, whether it's our culture or whether it's our upbringing or the, you know, however we are perceived, all of us, even little kids sometimes don't know. They say something and they realize, oh man, that was in me. So I like that. It's just an analogy. And I understand that, you know, it's not, again, it's the magic and all that. But I think that was the beautiful thing where it just happened. And I just wish she had done the scene beautifully, but that was a good scene for me too. It's just the way it was portrayed wasn't my favorite one. The other scenes that Shana said were very strong. It was hard to read about not only the rape, but afterwards how everything was, you know, played out. That was very uncomfortable. Other than that, I wish Graham was a bit more strong. I wished, you know, they kind of had that, you know, we have men today and in the history were like that. But I guess that's where I wish his scenes were a bit more where he could have been more. But he does come and help the sister. And I like that part when he takes the stand that I'm going to stay here. And, you know, he tells the dad to go away. I thought I liked that one too. But just that the suspense wasn't for me. I wish he had wrapped it up nicely.
Right. I actually, that was my scene. I liked the scene where Graham defends her. Her relationship with Graham was just kind of I don't know how I felt about it. Like, because it was like, she talks about how she was close to him and then they weren't close and then they were close and they weren't close. So I was just kind of like, what's going on? Like, I just didn't get it until finally it's like, nope, I'm Graham. I'm your brother. I love you. I'm going to be there. I'm kind of like, okay. I mean, I loved it, but it was just kind of like, okay. You know, it was one of those things. Erin.
Okay. So my favorite scene is, and I didn't realize when it first comes up in the book, like, I thought it was great, but I didn't realize how great until you get further into the story. But it's where Kate goes to visit Frederick at the mansion and finds him, like, you know, all huddled down in this one little room and all of these, like, dead mayfly wings everywhere, and how much, you know, he was just so isolated. And at the time, you're like, what the heck is going on here? Like, does he have dementia? Is there like some level of he's not able to care for himself? And you kind of feel a little bad for him. But it's very, it's a very clear like imagery, you know, that's depicted during that scene. And then when you realize what he did, and you just, I don't know, for me, I was like, oh, he deserved it. Like, and you realize the extent of those mayflies, and it really, I loved the revenge of it. I'm a little ashamed to say that, but then a little not ashamed to say that.
Hey,
because it was so deserved.
It was all deserved. I mean, I'm not ashamed to, I've been saying it all along. I'm like, I'm not ashamed to say it. I'm kind of like, you know, I'm okay to, you know, what is it? Drive a truck over them or whatever. I don't care. I'm not ashamed to say it. Sophia.
So for this particular scene, I also loved it. But my first thought was that why he is not leaving that place? Why is he not selling it? Why is he not? And he was suffering from that curse for a long, long time. And he was just, I mean, who can live with an insect infestation? Because she found an old newspaper clip where they talked about bringing all kind of pest control and exterminators, and they were not able to get rid of it. So, I mean, if you are living in a super infested place, won't you want to just move into a small one bedroom place and just get rid of that thing? So maybe that was part of the curse, that he couldn't get rid of that place. He was just tied to it. So that was one comment. The other comment about favorite scene, when Altha was acquitted from the witch trial and that juror gave her the gold coins, I thought that was a very heartwarming scene because she was in such a bad situation that anything could have been better for her. So seeing her win her freedom and also some subsistence, I think it really, really made me feel very, very good about her situation, that finally she got something better in life. But I wondered why Grace didn't defend her in the court. Grace never said anything that she's not a witch, or she just answered the questions that was asked.
Grace couldn't, because the case was brought on by Grace's father. And Grace's mm-hmm. father is the one who made Grace marry that John Williams character or whoever was a husband. So I don't think Grace had
the nerve to do it.
The nerve or the power to do it, to stand up for her friend. Grace didn't even have the nerve or the power to be her friend. For the longest time, she was trying, like, she was like, we can't talk, you know, looking around. Okay, I want this. Okay, I got to run. You know, I mean, it was just a very, very, very sad situation for Grace. I felt bad for Altha and Grace's friendship. And because they were so close, they were like besties and they were best friends and they had just such a close relationship. To break that relationship just broke my heart. I think of all the relationships in this book, Grace and Altha's relationship, the break of that was what really broke my heart. I really loved Emily's relationship with Kate at the bookstore. And I loved how she was like, if you want to talk to me about anything, I'm here for you. I really liked that. I think for me, I like when you have relationships with people who are not your family. You know, when you get that help from a stranger, and when a stranger steps up for you in books, that's what really gets me, because that's what makes me have faith in humanity. And so those are my things, you know, like in this book with Emily, and I loved Altha and Grace's relationship. I mean, obviously the scenes I don't like are, you know, you guys have mentioned, didn't like any of the abuse scenes. I didn't like the way her father spoke to her. I loved the scene where she said, no, father, I'm not going to Scotland. No, I am not going to do this. You know what? Enough is enough. This is where I'm going to be. I loved when she stood up to her father. This is Violet. And stood up for her rights. That was heartwarming for me. So those were some of my scenes. I'm sure a lot, you know, we get it, you know, like some of the scenes that are just like, yay. And then, but I, magic realism scenes did not do it for me. Monique?
I don't think that I had a particular scene that was my favorite. I think that there was a lot about the book. Like if you look at the scenes individually, there's actually a lot to dislike as far as like what's happening, the content of the book. But I think that that's what makes the story so good, because there's no single moment that you see them overcoming these things. Like there's little individual tidbits. Like you said, Violet saying, no, I'm not going to Scotland. Kate saying that I do want to have my daughter, like these kind of small little tidbits. One thing that I didn't enjoy, in like you said, like, oh, it's going to be okay. He's not going to come for her. She's got away. As we mentioned, that people in abusive relationships often have no choices and they can't leave. And it kind of, in a way, bothered me that we don't even really, like, he's not even looking for her. There's, like, that we know of, there's no inkling of, like, there's no close calls until suddenly that accidental email. And that just, for me, felt unrealistic given how hardcore this intense, as they refer to it as a cage, that he has set up for her in that beginning. And we know that she's gone for several months, given her pregnancy, when he finds her, or how far along she is. So I didn't like that it was just like, okay, suddenly he's here and he's looking for you. I kind of wish that there had been, because I'm sure he was frantically looking for her behind the scenes, but I kind of wish her mom had mentioned, like, he won't stop calling me, he's shown up at my house, like something that would make more sense for this character if he is as bad and evil as he seems. It seemed almost like that storyline kind of got dropped for the majority of the book. Not that I wanted the abuser to show up multiple times, but it just felt like the thought line of that character was not there for me. And then it's suddenly a big deal right at the end. But I also loved that because I love thrillers. So when she sent the email and it was 3 minutes, I was like, he had an alert on his phone. It dinged. He's
right.
Coming.
So I
like that for me, the suspense building of that. But I kind of wish there'd been a little bit more of that throughout, just because we know that that was happening behind the scenes, but we didn't see it. Or we assume it was happening.
You know, for me, there's this thing, and maybe I'm just really naive. It's like, okay, she's gone. She's gone for a few months. At some point, why don't you just give up? Why don't you just effing give up? And I'd hate to say, since you're a predator, go after someone else. I mean, that's not what I want, but that's kind of, I'm like, just give up and whatever. But no, like months later, he comes up.
Well, he spent a long time to isolate her. So it was kind of like a project that he's invested his time and effort to his prisoner. So that's why it felt so random for me that we don't hear of him again until the end of the book. And she doesn't even really seem concerned about his whereabouts or his thought process throughout the book. And that also seemed a little unrealistic to me because, again, we're at the beginning, it sets so strongly how dangerous he is and how unsafe that child would be and how unsafe of a situation she was in. And to not have her, you know, checking in on that at all, even like in any way seeing what he's up to, it just seemed a little unrealistic in that sense. But again, I did really like the stress at the end of knowing that he was coming and seeing how that was going to unfold.
Yeah, I knew he was coming. I mean, in the beginning of the book, all of the Kate scenes were stressing me out. Like when she's there, I'm like, oh my God, I just know he's going to come. Just know he's going to come. And then I just started relaxing. Like I said, I just started relaxing. And then you have you're right, the whole Google alert. And it was just really fast and contrived. Strange enough, I thought her mom would have slipped. I thought when he called and asked her mom, before her mom was calling her mom would have said, no, she's in whatever. But the fact that her mom said that I didn't know how to get to you, and like almost like her mom knew she was in an abusive relationship but couldn't rescue her, which was kind of interesting to me. I don't know. I guess, why couldn't her mom call the police? I mean, I don't know.
I think that's also, you can't help someone who doesn't want to be saved. And I don't know that she knew whether or not she wanted to be saved or was ready to leave that situation. And if she imposed herself too soon or in the wrong way, she would have cut that relationship with her daughter potentially.
Okay.
Because the daughter, Kate didn't say anything to her mom about this abusive relationship. So unless you say something, and as Monique said, it can go either way, you know, and then potentially she might be losing that one support she has, her mom. Mm-hmm. So Kate never told her anything till she came to the cottage. And then when her mom said, oh, he's been calling me continuously to find out where you are, you know? So I think, but her mom knew something was happening. So right. That's why I think she didn't tell him that she's in such a, you know, in a place mm-hmm. wherever she was. So okay. I think that's my take on it.
Okay. Oh, wow. 809. Favorite characters and least favorite characters.
I loved Violet. She was my most favorite character, more than Alta and Kate, because I think she went through a lot and then she really rose from here to here. So I liked her character a lot. Least favorite, I think all the characters were pretty good in terms of the way they were written. They really were justified. I don't think any character was portrayed in a different way than it was supposed to be written. So you know how I look at characters, the way they're written, and they were all written pretty well, I think. But Violet was my favorite.
I liked Alta, actually. I mean, very similar with Violet, you know, but Alta processing her mom and what her mom would want. Uh-huh. I don't know. And Alta is the main person, you know, like the head of the whole thing. And I really, really loved Alta as my favorite character. And my least favorite is probably, more than Simon, I think my least favorite was the dad. Like Violet's dad was my least favorite.
I have to say one thing, that if I were to come up for the most, for the least favorite, I would say Kate's mom. I don't know, as a mom, what would I do to save my child? She really took a backseat in all this. She knew pretty well what was going on, but she didn't go ahead. And I don't know, I think she was a pretty weak person from that standpoint. But I understand her history, husband going away and whatever. But I think if I were to point to one character that I did not like, that's her.
So I raised my hand and I listened to your response, and it's exactly the same, Shanaz. So, wow. Alta is my favorite character because I just love that, you know, she helps a friend. She also finds a relationship. I don't know if it was love or not, but she found a relationship. She had a daughter. You know, she raises her daughter. She makes it through the witch trials. I love her strength and her perseverance and her what seems like an acceptance of herself throughout her life. I'm a little bit envious of that. And I do agree that my least favorite character is Violet's father, because he like had his family killed, his brother and his parents. And then he basically kills his wife out of neglect, if not, you know, more than that. And then he abandons his kids and he knows that his daughter got raped. He doesn't, I think he says he doesn't believe it, but I think he really does believe it, but he just doesn't care. And he ends up taking in her rapist, who, again, I mean, is his nephew, but, you know, it's not a nephew he had a relationship with before that point. So I think he is, like, literally the most detestable, even more so than Simon, the most detestable character. He's just malicious.
Right, right. At least Simon, you know, he is a wolf and a wolf's clothing. You know, this is the father, you know, a wolf in sheep's clothing kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. Shauna's.
For me, I liked all the women characters. For me, I couldn't pick one. I liked all of them. And I didn't like any of the men, except maybe Graham. I don't know. Especially the dad's character was the worst. You know, I cannot believe a dad to be so with no heart for his own children. Especially, you know, yeah, the situation could be anything. The year could be different. The century could be different. But still, your child is your child. You believe your child more than your nephew. Whatever said and done, you know, that's my take on it. So
I believe there are dads like that. I'm sorry. I just do believe there are dads like that. And it's...
Yeah, that's true.
Even today.
But you know what? As a parent, I think that is so wrong. I think, believe my child more than anybody else, given the situation, especially, you know, with Frederick and not your, you know, as you all of you were saying that your daughter was raped, but you put the blame on her, not on the nephew, who is a little more older and wiser than your child, who doesn't know anything. And you know that too, you know? So as you said, oh my God, he's the most detestable character. But anyway, I didn't like any of the men.
I just wish, you know.
Sorry, like, XY species. I'm sorry.
I just felt like, you know, as a father, he should have defended her, period. Even if she was in the wrong. Even if she was in the wrong, he should have been like, okay, fine, mistakes happen, it's fine, I'm still going to take care of you, let's get through this together. Even if she would have tried to seduce him and all this happened, but this direction, the way it went, was just, again, unconscionable.
I think he was scared of her, so that's why he was just trying to get a excuse so that he can totally abandon her.
Yep. He was a fun character. Any other characters that we loved or hated, scenes we loved or hated, themes we want to discuss?
I really liked Kate. I know it was a hard decision between like Kate and Alpha and Violet, but I think I liked Kate the most just because we got to really see her journey from a place of like fear and being closed down into acknowledging and accepting her power. And so I just really liked that process that she had. And I really liked Emily, the bookstore lady, as a kind of support for her.
Yes, I loved Emily too. Okay, let's do the final three questions. Book cover, book title, and your final rating of the book.
I loved the cover because I think it had you could say it was something about nature, and the raven was the main focus. So, you know, when you connect witchcraft with ravens, so that's what I thought. The book, the cover was, I liked it, 5. The story for me was, I would say, maybe 4.5, because some scenes, after reading a couple of, going through a few paragraphs, I figured out, oh, this is what's going to happen, and that's what happened. Somewhere, you could figure it out. So for me, if it's going to be a little, witchy, magic realism, I think it should be like, you shouldn't be able to figure it out. And some scenes were not tied up also, I love the Kate scene where, the crows and the birds and the flies and everybody comes and helps. But that looked a little unbelievable in this present day situation too. So maybe she could have had something else come up, but still, I like that scene, no doubt about it. And then the thing was this, Alta, she just wanted to get a child, so she went to bed with somebody, right?
Yeah, I think they kind of ended the story there that she went to bed with someone and hoped she'd get pregnant, but we didn't have a follow-up on Alta's story after that. She went to bed with someone with the hopes of getting pregnant.
It was just a couple of lines, I was like, why? You could have had a few paragraphs, to say, yeah, she fell in love or something. So for me, that was like, I didn't like it. Maybe that's me. So that's 4.5, 4. And then overall, that's it, right?
And title?
Cover. Title I liked because I think Wayward later on became weird. That's what I read from Shakespeare, right? Mm-hmm. Like Riffith said. So, yeah, I like the title. 5 for it.
Okay. Sophia?
Yeah, I will also give 5 to the title because I first thought it was spelled wrong and the title is Wayward, which is someone who's lost in direction and those characters, that's how, like I said, society perceived them. I will also give a 5 to the cover because it was really, really relevant to the story and very eye-catching and very organic looking. And for the story, and I'm not giving any decimals, all natural numbers since the book is very natural.
Good.
So it's close to nature. So I'll give a 4 to the story and the book itself because it was very lush writing. I would call it very lush, especially whenever she described nature, it almost felt like poetry. So that was great. And it was her debut novel. And
yes.
considering a debut novel, it was a great piece of writing. But it has loose ends, like you mentioned. And I also felt something. I mean, I always I'm like, well, how did she climb down that attic? Did she ever talk about lowering the ladder? So those kind of things just come to my mind. I think it had loose ends. And some of the, like Alta's story, we never knew what happened to her. But maybe those things were intentionally left to whoever is reading readers' imagination. So I will give it 4. So that's my rating.
I completely agree with her. I think, really, does Alta's story need to be told? I think author's story was more based on, will she get out? And then what happened at the trial? Like what happened before the trial? And will she get out? And those questions were answered. And then the other thing was, how does she have a child? Like what, you know, and then you're like, okay, there was a man. Oh, it was this guy. And I think that's where, you know, do we really want more of it? I think that's where the Alta story went. Erin.
I liked the title just for the same reasons everybody mentioned. So I would give the title like a 4.5. I liked the cover. It's very like feminine gothic, which kind of represents the book well. So I would give that like 4.5. And the first time I read the book, I think I gave it a 4. But the second time I read the book, I give it a 5. It just like it grew with me a little bit. And I think the second time around, I could be less in suspense about Simon and that whole situation and really appreciate some of the rest of the story and the detail and the writing. So yes, I would give it a 5. I'd recommend it.
Okay. Rifat, you're next.
So the title, I loved it. As soon as I read it, I was like, yeah, that's Shakespeare Witches. I love that one. So definitely 5 for the title. The book that we have, the cover is really good, but I did Audible, so I didn't pay much attention to the book cover till now. But it is good. I like the green color and all that. But it seems like there were quite a few since it was published in England. They always have two different covers, one for US and one for UK. So there it seems like there are a few other covers too, and they're also very nice. You know, something about them that's organic and kind of like mysterious. So I like that. For the book, so I would definitely recommend it, but I wouldn't recommend it to everybody. I would know, you know, I would recommend it to people who I know would appreciate it. I really, really love the book for myself. I would give it a 5, but from the story writing point, and I think there were loose ends. There was like the thing, like I said, the suspense wasn't as good as I would have wanted it to be. I loved Alta's story perfectly. There was no need, in my opinion, there was no need to go any further. They picked the juror was the person who ended up becoming, right? So I thought that was really nice. I love the twist where Violet did not have any child, but the magic was passed on to the niece or to grandniece, mm-hmm. something, right? It is nice to see 1600 and then suddenly, like, what was the next era? 19 something? 40s, World War II, and then this. So, which kind of tells it, it just leaves you to imagination how much struggle the women went through to get here. And then we have these past more recent timelines. I loved that. It was artistically done, whatever was left out. Other than the suspense, I think the suspense part was where I was not very happy. And I think what Monique said also bugged me a lot, that why did we leave Simon so out of, you know, it kept on coming back from Kate's point of view, but a few chapters on his own would not have been bad. I know it was predominantly a women narration book or something, but I think something about that was like, you know, suddenly he had to be able to find her without that mistake from her. It didn't have to be her mistake that led him to find her. I think he was that kind of a person who would be like, who would be more airtight about her whereabouts and everything. So, but he was going to come anyway. So it didn't bother me that much whether it was her mistake or not. So that was going to happen anyway. But those parts like the suspense, which I mentioned before, I didn't like that. And she's pregnant and she's on, you know, all that little drag was just too much for me. So for that, I'm going to say maybe for myself, like I said, 5, I would love to read it again. And I, you know, I don't mind those things. We forgive writers and she's the, you know, it's a debut. So overall, the package was really good. But if I were to look at everything, a 4.5.
So you gave the book a 5, so maybe 4.5. The cover was a 5 and the title was a 5. Okay. All right. Shanas, you have your hand up. Do you change your score?
Was there a trigger warning in the book? No trigger warnings, right? Usually they have nowadays for the books, right?
They do have trigger warnings in the books. I just, you know what?
Did they have?
I did Audible, so I don't know.
Usually the
Audible. Yeah, I did the Audible too. So that's why I wanted to know whether, because Shana's read the book, I know.
I did the ebook. So like, you know, on a Kindle, when you click on it, it goes to the first page. So I didn't go back to see if there was a trigger warning. like there's on a not. Kindle? No,
there's not. I just looked. Yes.
Oh, see, wow. Because there's so many situations where you need trigger warnings, right? Because
oh my gosh. I'm sure. Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. Because you're absolutely right. Because I think I told you, like, my book, like, one of the readers had read it and she was like, her first comment was, okay, Shanaz, you need a page of trigger, not a whole page, but you need a paragraph of trigger warnings for this. And she was like, you need like all these trigger warnings. I was like, okay, trigger warnings can be added on later. Tell me about the book. Let's fix this. And she's like, no. This is one of the things you need to fix. Like, it was like so huge for her, like, to add the trigger warning. So I was really surprised that you know, I wasn't looking for it, but I'm really, you know, surprised that it wasn't there considering today's day and time that you should have it. So, all right.
And I liked her explanation for the word witch. I don't know if you remember reading it or I listened to it. I liked it. Witch, the word slithers from the mouth like a serpent, drips from the tongues as thick as tar, and then it goes on, and then it ends with a word that builds gallows and fires, turns breathing women into corpses.
I remember reading that. Very true. I remember reading that, yeah. I loved her prose. I really did love her prose quite a bit. I will just tell you, like, I'll go with my score, then we'll go to Monique and we'll go to Dr. Jen to end it. So my score is, as far as the cover goes, I liked it. I didn't love it. Okay, so I'm going to give the cover a 4. I know it's very artsy, it's beautiful, but there's something about it that's holding me back. So I'm giving the cover a 4. The title, Wayward, I liked it. Like, that's a 5. It's a solid 5 for the title. The book itself, like the whole book, like I said, I'm not a big fan of like the magic realism versus realism, all of that. Good book. I did enjoy it, but I will give it a 4. And that's my thing. Monique.
I love the cover of the book in a beauty sense. Like, I think it's beautiful to look at. However, as far as I want to pick this book up because of the cover sense, for some reason, I'm not drawn to it. Like, I look at it and I'm like, that's pretty, but I don't want to read it right now. So I don't know why that is. I don't know if it's the angle of the crow. I'm not sure, because the background is stunning, but I would give that a 4. I really love the title. I think the title is spot on. And I think that having the explanation at the beginning of the book really gives the title meaning. So I think you have to give that a 5. I think it's really well done in that sense. The book overall for me is a 4. I really loved the overall story. And there was lots of parts where I found that the writing was very beautiful. For me, a 5 has to be just like exceptional, blew me away. And this one didn't quite do that. Just because there were a few things that pulled me out for a few minutes. And if I'm pulled out of the story or thinking critically while I'm reading, I find then that it's not quite a 5. I often will look back and think critically after a 5-star read, but when I'm pulled out of the story because I'm like, I'm not liking this in the moment as I'm reading it, then it's always usually a 4 for me, no matter how much I like the story. So those are my ratings.
Sorry, I'm just reading the message. I was like, perhaps one day, she said, there would be a safer time when women could walk the earth, shining bright with power. And yet live. Yes.
And that was my one of the favorite quotes.
No, it's her prose. Her prose is beautiful. As a debut author, I mean, she writes better than like other authors, to be very honest. You can't tell it's a debut. It's so well done and totally makes me envious. I'm kind of like, you know, as an author, you know, you're just like, you're always in this comparison mode. And I'm like, stop freaking comparing, but her prose is so beautiful. Like, it's this constant thing in my head. Dr. Jen.
I really enjoyed this book. I gave it a 5 across the board. So like I felt the cover was very intriguing. And if I had walked by it in the bookstore, I would have totally picked it up. but maybe it's just my aesthetic. I don't know. But I really liked it. And same with the title, as we've talked about, the Shakespeare reference, I really like. And as I mentioned at the beginning, I read it in one sitting. I couldn't put it down. I've already recommended it to people. I'm going to read it again. And for me, those are what I would qualify as a 5. So.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Another excellent book club. And I'm really glad, a little different from last time, but excellent book club. Thank you.
And wasn't that fun? So that was book club, and I have several upcoming episodes to edit. One would be author conversations with Christina Baker Klein. Then there is another author conversation with Erin Young. She is coming back on my podcast. Let's see what else. There is another book club, Wellness by Nathan Hill. And then I have a conversation with another writer and a bookshop owner. So there's a lot coming up. I am trying to get caught up and get all the edits done. Please, please, please be patient with me. And before I go, if you loved this episode or any of my previous episodes, please take a moment to write me a review on Apple Podcasts. Please share this podcast with your family and friends and through your social media channels. Follow me on Facebook and Instagram on Living a Life Through Books. I'm also on Clubhouse. Look me up by name. I'm on TikTok. My tag is at Dr. Shanaz Ahmed. You can reach me through email. My address is livingalifethroughbooks@gmail.com. My website is shanazahmed.com. That is shanazahmed.com. The opening and closing music to this and all my previous episodes was composed by my husband, Brad Slavik. I'm Dr. Shanaz Ahmed with Living a Life Through Books signing off. Remember to water the seeds within you. It's time.